Well, if you have your Bibles, go with me tonight to Acts chapter 18. Acts chapter 18. The title of the message this evening is Continuing in Corinth. Continuing in Corinth. Paul is nearing the end of his second missionary journey when he comes to the large city of Corinth. Corinth had a population of about 750,000 people, if you can imagine an ancient city of that size. Just so you understand, the city of Fort Worth has about 850,000 people. Corinth was a large city. It was also a very wealthy city. It sat on three major seaports. It was the center of commercial trade. One commentator said, in the market in Corinth, a person could buy Arabian balsam, Egyptian papyrus, Phoenician dates, Libyan ivory, Babylonian carpets, and Phrygian slaves. It was a melting pot of the world. Someone has compared the ancient cities to cities in our time, and I think it's very helpful. This writer says that Athens was a lot like Boston, Massachusetts, an intellectual center. He says that Ephesus was a lot like Los Angeles, a popular culture and occult center. Rome was like Washington, D.C., the center of power and politics. Corinth, the writer says, was like New York City. It was the place where everything in the Greek and Roman Empire really moved. It was a commercial center. Corinth was a large city. It was a wealthy city. It was a wicked city. In the center of the city was a temple to the Greek goddess of sexuality, Aphrodite. That temple stood on a 1,900-foot-tall hill. Thousands of female slave priestesses served in that temple. And at night, they would come down the hill and walk the streets looking for men that they called worshipers. So with that historical background in place, I want you to imagine the Apostle Paul as he strolls into Corinth for the very first time in Acts chapter 18, verse 1. It says, after these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought, for by their occupation they were tent makers. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they had opposed them, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth, I will go unto the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house. And many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. I want you to notice that expression in verse 11, where it says, and he continued. Corinth was a great opportunity for the Apostle Paul. It was a melting pot, a center of influence, a place with a lot of movers and shakers, a strategic place from which people all over the world could be reached. But Corinth was also a place of great challenge. In fact, I believe that Paul's greatest personal crisis happened while he was in the city of Corinth. We often don't think of Paul as a man who faced crisis. We sometimes think of him as some kind of superhuman robot who was never bothered by the problems in his life. You could mock him and stone him and throw him in jail and run him out of your city, and he'd just keep on going for the Lord. But the Paul we just read about in Acts 18 is a very different Paul than we've read about. He's in crisis. Most commentators believe that in Corinth, Paul is on the verge of quitting the ministry and going back to his home base. At the very least, Paul is discouraged. He's weary. He's pessimistic about the prospects of ministry in a place like Corinth. And folks, I don't think it should surprise us to discover that Paul felt like quitting, to discover that he got discouraged a little from time to time. Isaiah 40 verse 30 says, "Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." All of us from time to time get weary in our souls, do we not? The pressure of life builds up. We get to the point where we say, "I need to give something up. I need to lay something aside. It would be so much easier at this problem time in my life just to walk away from Corinth and to go back to Antioch." We know that Isaiah 40, 30 says, "Even the youths shall grow weary." But don't forget what Isaiah 40, 31 says. It says, "But they that wait upon the Lord." Can I say it this way? Those who continue. "They who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." Verse 29 of that same chapter says that God giveth power to the faint. We all get tired. We all get weary. We all get discouraged from time to time and feel like quitting and giving up. But I want you to know tonight that there's a God in heaven who will renew our strength. There's a God in heaven who knows how to give power to the faint. Have you ever wondered how God does that? How do we get to a place in life when we're run down and worn out? And how does God renew our strength? How does He give power to the faint? What we'll discover tonight is that God is going to look down from heaven and see His weary servant and deploy some resources that'll put some strength and some hope and some courage back in Paul as long as he'll continue. I want you to notice, first of all, Paul's discouragement. Paul's discouragement. It says in verse 5 that Paul was pressed in the spirit. The word there literally means he was oppressed, afflicted, distressed in his soul. Paul is ministering in the synagogue and he's facing the rejection of the Jews once again. Finally, he's had enough and he just snaps. You don't see Paul react like this often. He shakes his raiment saying, "I don't even want the dust of this place to be on my clothes." And he says, "Your blood be upon you. I'm going to the Gentiles now." Can you see Paul's reached a point of snapping? He's reached a place of being distressed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he would write to the church of Corinth, and he would say, "When I was there with you," in Acts 15, "I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling." Even the great apostle Paul got weak. Even the great apostle Paul was afraid. Even he shook from time to time in the face of opposition. Now, as I thought about it this week, I thought, why is Paul reacting this way in Corinth? He's faced a lot worse in his life, hadn't he? He was stoned in Lystra and left for dead, and he just kept going on. He was beaten and jailed in Philippi and won the jailer to Christ. In the passage we studied last week, he was literally laughed out of Athens. So why is Paul so distressed in Corinth? I don't think it is the singular event of what happens in the synagogue in Corinth that's distressing him. I think it is rather the cumulative events of all the trials that he's experienced on his journey. Like pressure building up against a dam, Paul breaks. Ladies and gentlemen, have you ever been there? You ever gotten to the place in life where you felt like your burdens were so heavy you couldn't carry them for another step? Each and every one of us knows what it is to be discouraged. And when we think about some of the things that Paul has gone through, we certainly can see he had some real causes for being discouraged. I want to run through these causes very quickly. And I think you'll see that some of the things that discouraged Paul will discourage you and I if we're not careful. They're the same causes that bring discouragement into all of our lives. First of all, I think Paul was discouraged because of physical weariness. physical weariness. One commentator said that between the years of 49 and 52 AD, the Apostle Paul traveled approximately 2,000 miles by foot. Ladies and gentlemen, that'd be like walking from Fort Worth, Texas to Portland, Oregon, if you can imagine. And Paul did this at the very least in his 50s. Some say he's in his 60s when he makes that trip. We discover that not only has Paul been traveling all over the world, but the entire time he's been traveling, apparently he's been bivocational. He's been preaching at night and making tents during the day to provide for his financial needs. Paul is physically exhausted. I want to remind you this evening that when the Lord Jesus made you, when God created you, He created you body, soul, and spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." You know what that means? God wants our souls and spirits to be preserved to the day of His coming, no doubt about it. But He also wants us to take care of and preserve our bodies. Someone has said your body, soul, and spirit are so closely connected that when one gets sick, the other two may catch it. That's absolutely true. If you were in a season of physical exertion and physical weariness, do not be surprised if the devil brings discouragement to you while you are weak. Physical weariness is a cause of discouragement. I think another thing that caused Paul's discouragement was chronic trauma. Chronic trauma. My wife and I have been doing training over the last couple of months to adopt some children out of the CPS system. They've been training us how to parent children that have faced trauma in their lives. We've learned a little bit about it over the last couple of months. There is what they call acute trauma. Acute trauma is when something bad happens to you one time. Think about a car accident. Think about being fired from a job. Or a tornado ripping through your home. Now, those are one-time events, but they can really leave a scar on a person, can't they? They're traumatic. But the more serious trauma is chronic trauma. This is trauma that happens to the same person over and over and over again. A child that's abused daily. A soldier who's on the battlefield day after day. Chronic trauma results from a buildup of negative events over a long period of time. Think about the Apostle Paul with me for a moment, if you will. Everywhere he's gone, he's faced opposition and persecution, with rarely a day off. He's been physically beaten, thrown in jail, stoned, left for dead, rejected, mocked, run out of town, and not just once, but over and over and over again. And he comes into Corinth, and he fears he's going to face it all yet again. Here we go again, Paul says. More trouble from the Jews. And he doesn't know if he can take it. Now, each of us in this room, if you're of any age, has experienced a traumatic event in your life. Some of you have experienced trauma that I can't even imagine. And I'm going to tell you, you don't just deal with trauma one time and then it's over, especially if it's chronic in nature. You have to deal with it over and over and over again because it will reappear at moments that you would least expect it. If hard things have happened in your life, you need to understand that the world, the flesh, and the devil will do everything they can to dig up the junk in your past and make you deal with it all over again. Paul has dealt with this day after day after day, and finally he shows signs of it wearing on him. I think another thing that caused discouragement in the Apostle Paul's life was loneliness. Loneliness. When Paul starts this chapter coming into Corinth, he's all alone. He sent Silas and Timotheus on to gather some resources. I believe he went to Philippi. They went to Philippi and collected that offering we read about in the book of Philippians. And that when Silas and Timotheus reappear, they come with that offering, that encouragement from the church at Philippi. But when Paul gets there, he is initially alone. We all know that it's a hard thing to stand for Christ. It's much harder to stand alone. I don't know about you, but when I've been standing for Christ and I've had a hard week, It is so encouraging for me to come into the church on Sunday and be surrounded by my brothers and sisters who encourage me and tell me they're praying for me and who sing the songs of Zion. It's an encouraging thing to hear the Word of God preached. Paul hasn't had that in years. Oh, he started some local churches, but they've been small pockets. It's been a long time since he had the support of his home church. He's a missionary, a long way away from all the people that he knows. He's lonely. As I worked with addicts over the years, I found that so many people got into addiction trying to medicate themselves out of their loneliness, trying to drink their loneliness away and drug their loneliness away. I found that many a person is in a bad, terrible, toxic relationship, looking to love or even to sex their loneliness away. I'm going to tell you this evening, once the drug wears off and once you hit the hangover and once the one night stand is over, none of those things will do anything to take care of your loneliness. You'll be left with it. The Apostle Paul's in a lonely place in life, and I think he's discouraged. One more thing I think caused his discouragement: his evil surroundings. Corinth was like San Francisco and Las Vegas all rolled up into one. In fact, they developed a Greek verb in that time. It was one word, and it meant to behave like a Corinthian. And if someone told you that you were behaving like a Corinthian, it meant that you were living loose and you were promiscuous. When Paul comes into this city, no doubt he's vexed in his spirit. He was vexed in Acts 17 when he saw Athens wholly given to idolatry. I think he was vexed in his spirit in Acts 18 when he comes into Corinth and sees it wholly given to sexuality. He's in terrible surroundings. And the wickedness and the evil nature of the society that's all around him certainly has an effect. Some of you can relate with this. You go off to work every day and hear people using profanity every single day. People drinking and living a wild lifestyle, and that's the norm. Everyone rebelling against the Lord. And you know how you go back to work day after day after day in an environment like that, and it just vexes your soul. That's where Paul is. He's physically weary. He's faced chronic trauma. He's in a lonely time in life, and he's surrounded by evil, the likes of which you and I can hardly imagine. He was pressed in the spirit. He was in fear and trembling. He was weak and ready to quit. But listen, he had enough wisdom to know it. He had enough wisdom to admit it. It must have taken a lot of courage under inspiration of the Holy Spirit to write to the church at Corinth and say, "When I was among you, I was weak and I was fearful and I was trembling." Do you like admitting those things about yourself? Listen, it takes a lot of strength to admit a weakness. A lot of strength. And I'm going to tell you this. God is attracted to weakness. And I think God looked down from heaven and said, "My weary warrior's gone long enough, and he's gone hard enough, and I think I'm going to deploy some resources to help him on his way." Let's notice quickly God's deployments, and I'm really just going to list these for sake of time. Number one, God deployed to Paul the encouragement of friends. We read in verses 2 and 3 that God sent a couple named Aquila and Priscilla. They opened up their home and they encouraged the Apostle Paul. I'm going to tell you, nothing will help you more on your way when you are weary than a word of encouragement. Encouragement from a friend is like water for a thirsty soul. It's like a warm fire for a soul in the cold darkness. It's like putting a set of jumper cables on the terminal of someone's heart and transferring your courage to their dead battery. Who knows if Paul would have continued in Corinth if it hadn't been for Aquila and Priscilla. And can I just say this? Aquila wasn't a preacher. They were never really in vocational or full-time Christian service. But here was a couple devoted to the work of God, devoted to the man of God, who were willing to open up their home and be a blessing to people that needed encouragement. One of the greatest things you could do in the Christian life is to encourage another person. I want to challenge you this week, write that card. Make that phone call. You never know when a person who's on their last leg will have courage again and be ready to move forward and continue in Corinth because they got a little encouragement. Be an encourager tonight. God deployed the encouragement of friends. He deployed, secondly, a personal word from the Lord. I love verses 9 and 10. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision. Be not afraid, but speak, and hold thy peace, for I am with thee. And no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. When you're discouraged, nothing will help you more than a personal word from the Lord. God gives Paul a command. He says, Paul, fear not. Isn't it awesome how every time the Lord shows up in the Bible, just about, he's saying those two words, fear not. Then he gives him a commission. Speak, hold not your peace. In other words, Paul, you're on the right track. You're headed down the right road. You're doing what I've called you to do. And I know the prospects don't look good to you, but just keep going. Again, sometimes it's a wonderful thing when the Holy Spirit of God through a Bible passage or through our prayer time comes alongside us and says, you're going the right direction. Mama, don't give up. Daddy, don't give up. Sunday school teacher, don't give up. Bus worker, don't give up. RU worker, don't give up. You're headed down the right track. Speak up. Hold not your peace. He gives him a commission. Keep going, Paul. It's not time to quit. It's time to recommission yourself. Then he gives him some comfort. He gives him three promises, the promise of his presence. He says, Paul, I'm with you. Then he gives the promise of protection. He says, no man in this city is going to be able to hurt you. Paul, you are invincible till I am done with you. Then he gives him the promise of potential. He says, Paul, I have much people in this city. Now that's amazing, isn't it? In a city like Corinth, God had much people. God was looking through the portals of time, and in his foreknowledge, he saw all the people that would come to Christ if Paul would just continue. All Paul saw there was immorality and wickedness and evil, but God had much people in that city. Oh, would you listen to me tonight? We often see a drug addict. God may see a preacher. We may see a young couple who's hit and miss in church and ought to know better, but God may see a Sunday school teacher. We see an orphan, but God may see a deacon or a missionary. And I'm glad that when our family walked in the church for the first time and our lives were a mess, that someone cared enough about us to see the potential in our souls and not give up on us. Ladies and gentlemen, even in a city like Corinth, God had much people. And I'm going to tell you, he may have some people in your neighborhood. He may have some people at your work, yes, even the hardest sinner. He has much people in Fort Worth, and we need to see the potential of people and not just the problems. God sends Paul some encouraging friends. He gives him a personal word from the Lord, and I think tonight God has a personal word for any discouraged person here. You keep going. You be encouraged. You speak up. God has much people. God has potential. God has something great for your life. Another thing God sent him was a fruitful season of ministry. As we study church history, we find that as Paul continued in Corinth, he built one of the great churches in the first century there. Oh, not a church without problems. It had many problems. But probably the largest church that the Apostle Paul started was in Corinth. If it wasn't in Corinth, it was in his next city, Ephesus. But God did a great work in the city of Corinth because Paul continued. We see, first of all, Paul's discouragement. Secondly, God's deployments. Thirdly, lastly, and quickly, I promise, Paul's determination. His determination. He says in 1 Corinthians 2, when I was with you, I was weak. I was fearful. I was trembling. But guess what else he said? He said, but I determined not to know anything among you save the Lord Jesus Christ. It says in verse 11, and he continued. We all get discouraged serving the Lord. And God has some deployments. He knows how to give power to the faint and to give strength to the weak. In between the discouragement and the deployments, we have to determine to continue. Maybe you hadn't gotten that note yet. Maybe God hadn't let up from the pressure yet. Maybe you haven't gotten that personal word from the Lord that you need just yet. Listen to me, it's coming. Just as soon as there's a God in heaven, just as sure as there's a God in heaven, He's going to give power to the faint. He's going to renew your strength. But you know what you got to do in between the discouragement and the deployment? You've got to determine, I'm going to continue. I'm not quitting today. I'm not giving up my ministry. I'm not giving up on God. I'm not giving up on my family. I'm going to go forward and trust that maybe tomorrow will be the day God will send His deployments and His reinforcements to encourage me. Don't you love the Lord Jesus? That He sees us when we're weak and He looks down from heaven on us when we're discouraged and He knows just what to do to meet our need. I read that old hymn this week and I love it. It says, just when I need Him, Jesus is near. Just when I falter, just when I fear. Ready to help me, ready to cheer. Just when I need Him most. Just when I need Him, He is my all. Answering when upon Him I call. Tenderly watching lest I should fall. Just when I need Him most. Just when I need Him most. Just when I need Him most. Jesus is near to comfort and cheer. Just when I need Him most. Ladies and gentlemen, don't give up in Corinth. Continue in Corinth. I promise you the Lord Jesus will be there just when you need Him most. Let's pray together, may we? God, I'm so glad to see that even a man like the Apostle Paul got discouraged, pressed in the spirit, afraid, weak, trembling. I've been there many a days. And I'm so glad that when we're in our discouragement, You have Your deployments. That You care about us. You encourage us. You help us. I know there's a whole room full of people tonight that need You. Some people who are weary and afraid and discouraged. And I pray that tonight they've gotten a word from the Lord like the Apostle Paul did in Corinth. And they'll keep going. Would you stand with me tonight?